We're so glad to have you here with us on the Gospel of Grace, and we invite you to open the Word of God and turn back to Ephesians chapter 6 with me this morning. We want to continue to meditate together on the armor of God and all of the seven components of the armor of God wherewith we can protect ourselves from the wiles of the devil. And this morning we want to focus on the shield of faith that we find in verse 16. But let's begin reading again in verse 13. To consider the full context again together. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, we now want to consider the fourth component of the armor of God, and we need to be fully equipped, fully protected, and this verse gives us the priority of the shield of faith. Notice the first words in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And this gives the connotation that this is arguably the most important piece of equipment in the armor of God. The Holy Spirit says, above all, taking the shield of faith. It is so vitally important that we live by faith in our life. And that protects us. When we live by faith, trusting God, trusting Jesus, that extinguishes, that quenches the temptations and the fiery darts of Satan. Above all, gives us the idea that this is an absolutely critical and vital piece of this armor. We will not be safe. We will not be equipped without this piece. And this tells us how vitally important faith is in the life of the child of God. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 17, this is quoted from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, where it says, "The just shall live by his faith." But in the New Testament, it's typically quoted, "The just shall live by faith." So we need to understand those that are just in Jesus Christ, that have been made just by his imputed righteousness, understand faith is how we live. Faith is how we live our life. And we've been given faith in the new birth, but now it's up to us to live in faith, to live out that faith. And first, we need to understand that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We can't just conjure up faith. We can't choose to believe in God. Belief is a evidence, an outpouring of faith in our life, and faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So we have to be born again before we can believe. We have to be born again before we can live by faith, because the only way that we get faith is not by us choosing God. The only way we get faith is by God imparting faith unto us in the new birth. But now we are just, we're born again, and now we have faith, but now we need to live by faith. Understand, faith is literally how we live our life. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us such an in-depth definition and description of what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it clarifies in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Understand, we can't do anything. We can't do anything pleasing to God without faith. That's why we're told in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And the context there is Christian liberty, that you need to have confidence in the decision you're making, and you need to make those decisions by faith. You need to have that confidence by faith. But understand, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There are many places in the Bible, Psalms chapter 28 and verse 7, just being one of many, where God is described as our shield. Now understand, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So that means that's an attribute of God. So there is a part of God that is placed inside the child of God when they are born again. So if God is our shield and we have a shield of faith, then truly that shield is of God, right? Because faith is of God. So God is our shield, but we need to understand that it's God that protects us, right? It's the shield that protects us. We can't just say, well, I'm just going to leave my shield of faith at home today, and I think I've got today under control, and this is going to be kind of a light day. I'm not that busy. I'll just handle today myself and leave the shield of faith at home, i.e. leave God at home. No, God is our shield. You see, God is our protector. God protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked. He protects us from Satan. Isn't it great to think about the fact that God is your shield, that God is your protector, that He encompasses us and He protects us and He quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked? Isn't it great to think about God that loves us so much, that protects us from Satan? You see, God is our shield and God protects us, but we also have to pick up that shield. Right? We have to pick up God. We have to pick up God by faith. And we want to live lives that are pleasing to God, right? We want to live lives that are honoring and pleasing to God. But the way that we live life pleasing to God is only by faith. You see, it's only by faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That means you have to be active. We have faith, right? We have faith in the new birth. But there's a big difference between having the indwelling faith of the new birth and taking up your shield of faith and living by faith, right? Now, as we've been considering in this armor, Ephesus was a Roman province, and they were very familiar with the Roman army. So this attire is describing a Roman soldier. So Roman shields were roughly 42 inches long, about 3.5 feet, and they typically protected the soldier from the shoulders to the knees. So I want you to think about them being in battle, and you have a shield, and it protects you from your head to your knees. So on your head, you have a helmet. You have the helmet of salvation, and then you have the boots of the gospel, but typically along with those boots, you would have shin guards, so to say. So essentially, you're protected from head to toe. You're protected from on your head with your helmet of salvation, from your shield, from your neck to your knees, and then your knees below is the boots of the gospel and your metal shin guards. So I want you to understand, this Roman shield would protect essentially the entire body of the soldier. This was not some small little bitty round shield. You know, there's been a lot of different kinds of shields throughout military history. You've probably watched movies or shows where they have these little bitty round shields, and they can't really do much with them, and all they can do really with that shield is hit somebody with it. This is not some small little bitty round shield that is only 12 inches or 24 inches wide. No, this thing is 3.5 feet tall, all right? I want you to understand, if you have a shield in front of you, and you have on the helmet of salvation, and you have on the boots of the gospel, and these shin guards of the gospel, if you'll let me use that terminology, if you have your shield, and you have all the rest of that armor on, then you're protected. You're protected from the front. And which, by the way, this is describing a soldier that should be running face first into battle. There's not a lot of protection for the soldier who is turned tail and run. There's not a lot of protection on the backside, right? So that means we should be advancing. The kingdom of God should be advancing. God's kingdom should be coming and growing. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God, against the church. That means we need to be actively looking ahead and pressing into the kingdom and running ahead into the battle. We should not be running away. We should not be in retreat. There's not a lot of protection with the shield of faith when we're running away, right? So this shield protects us, but I want you to understand how much of us it protects. Yes, we have a breastplate of righteousness, but we have the shield of faith in front of that. We have our loins girt about with truth, but we have the shield of faith in front of that. The shield of faith protects us from so many attacks of Satan. And I want you to notice, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is literally talking about a fiery arrow. Again, you've probably watched some movies where they're having a military siege, and what they do is they light arrows on fire, right? Well, I want you to understand, every single day, Satan is lighting arrows on fire and shooting them at the church, shooting them at the people of God. We have fiery darts coming at us every single day, okay? Now, what are you going to do if you don't have your shield of faith to protect you? Well, you might get hit with one of those fiery darts. And also, if you've seen these movies, a lot of times what they do with these fiery arrows is they shoot them up into the air. And what people do is they put their shield up above them, protect them from the arrows that are flying down out of the sky. Well, you might be a very good military soldier in hand-to-hand combat, but if you don't have a shield to put up above you to protect you from those fiery darts that are coming in, you're susceptible to get hit, right? You have to have the shield of faith. But we need to understand the reality of the fierceness of the battle that we are in. And Satan is hurling fiery darts at us all of the time. Satan is shooting arrows with fire on the end of it. I want to just highlight a couple examples of some of the fiery darts of Satan, but I want you to understand these are fiery darts that can be quenched if we have the shield of faith. We were talking about fire and fiery arrows, and James chapter 3 talks about the tongue, and that the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity and brings the fire of hell along with it. I'll tell you how much turmoil, how much pain is inflicted at the behest of Satan, no doubt. How much pain is inflicted because of us not controlling our tongues. I tell you, does Satan not use the fiery darts of our tongues to inflict pain upon others and upon ourselves? That is something that can spread. The tongue is a fire, and it describes this fire spreading. You know, think about one little bitty arrow that is fired into a camp of soldiers. That sin, that loose word, that sinful tone, that sinful word that we say, that will not just most likely stamp out on its own. Understand, the nature of fire is to spread, right? They're not just shooting arrows to wound you with an arrow. No, they're shooting fiery arrows so that the fire will catch on and the fire will spread. And the nature of fire is to spread, isn't it? And I'll tell you, how much fire, how much damage has been caused in the Lord's church, in our homes, in our friendships, in our marriages, but especially in our churches, how much fire has spread because of us not controlling our tongues. Because we've allowed one fiery dart of Satan to not be quenched with the shield of faith. Instead, one fiery arrow of Satan to get in there, and that fire spread. And it didn't just spread to me, it spread to my family, it spread to the church, it spread to others. Because understand, the nature of fire is to spread, right? That's what happens when we don't address sin in our life, when we don't address sin in the church. That's why church discipline is so important, to stamp out one sin before it spreads to everyone else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in the prior epistle in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had dealt with a sin that was a fiery sin that was spreading and leavening the whole lump, but the church dealt with that. But now this man had been rebuked and he repented, but they were now being unforgiving toward this one that has sinned. And Paul admonishes them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11 to forgive that man that repented, because lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, what is one of his chief devices? What is one of his chief fiery arrows that Satan fires at the church? It's unforgiveness, right? It's unforgiveness and not being willing to put away a past offense, reminding ourselves that God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. So that is a very destructive, fiery, can spread across the whole church and damage multiple people. That is just one fiery dart of unforgiveness that is a device of Satan that we will allow him to take advantage of us if we don't forgive others. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 10 talks about greed, talks about lust and lusting after money. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 10. But notice the effect of the love of money, which some have coveted after, and they have erred from the faith. All right, so they've put down the shield of faith. And what happened when they put down the shield of faith? They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, that's what happens when you put down the shield of faith. You get shot with arrows, right? You get shot with fiery arrows. These people had erred from the faith. They had put down their shield of faith and they got shot. They got pierced with many sorrows, these fiery darts. And there's so many other examples we could give of sin in our life. If it goes unaddressed, then not only will it damage us, but it will damage our loved ones. It will damage our marriages. It will damage our churches. There are so many fiery darts. We have to control our tongues. We have to be willing to forgive others that repent. We can't put a priority on the love love of money and the accumulation of riches, but there's so many other things, so many sins that we are tempted with every single day from Satan. And those fiery darts, they're described as being the fiery darts of the wicked. And if you have a King James Bible, which you need to, if you don't have a King James Bible, get rid of the one you have and go buy a King James Bible. So in the center column reference of the King James Bible, an alternate word for of the wicked is of the wicked one, which is talking about Satan. And ultimately, we need to be reminded of who our enemy is, right? We don't wrestle simply against principalities and powers and flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against men. No, we wrestle against Satan, the devil, and all of his henchmen. Our enemy, Satan, is continually shooting these fiery darts at us. And if we are not walking by faith, if we are not living by faith, if we are not living with the shield of faith protecting us, we are very, very vulnerable. Our tongues are going to say things they shouldn't say. We're going to become unforgiving and so many other things that are the devices of Satan, these fiery darts that can damage and inflict pain and spread among God's people. Again, the nature of fire is to spread if we don't quench them. But understand, we need to take Satan seriously. We need to take his fiery darts and his fiery arrows of temptation seriously. But understand, we have the armor. We have the protection to quench those fiery darts. And that word quench literally means to extinguish. And isn't it good to have something that can extinguish fire? Understand, child of God, we have a shield of faith that can extinguish these fiery darts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You see, we put on the helmet of salvation and bring every thought into captivity. But another important aspect of the weapons of our warfare is this shield of faith that protects us against the wiles of Satan. And literally, this shield of faith extinguishes, it quenches these fiery darts. You know, isn't it great if you have, let's say there's one fiery dart, one fiery arrow that gets into a camp. Isn't it great if somebody has a bucket of water they can just throw on that fiery dart, right? Because it won't spread. Well, that's what happens when we live by faith, is we extinguish, we put out the fires that Satan tries to start. And don't you know that Satan is trying to start fires everywhere? He's trying to start fires in our homes, in our churches, in this nation, among the people of God. Satan is trying to start fires everywhere. But instead, as children of God, we need to pick up our shield of faith and protect ourselves with it, and we shall extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked. I tell you, Satan is a very formidable foe. But understand, he is not a sovereign foe. He is not a victorious foe. He is a defeated foe. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that gives our shield strength, right? Is because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. The only reason that our shield is strong is because of the power of God, because of the power of Christ. And Satan's temptations and his fiery arrows can be very destructive and very dangerous. But we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Well, how do you bear it? How do you bear these temptations that in and of ourselves can be overwhelming? How do you bear it? You bear it by faith, right? You bear it by living by faith, by trusting God. By trusting God in the midst of tribulation and turmoil, in the midst of this temptation and this fiery trial. There are many times in Scripture he's talking about Satan shooting fiery arrows. There are many times in Scripture where we go through fiery trials. Where does that fire come from? Well, most of the time it comes from Satan, doesn't it? It comes from his temptations. But understand, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, and there is no temptation, there is no fiery arrow, there is no wile of Satan that is so strong that you can't conquer it if you're living by faith, if you have home the whole armor of God. The shield of faith protects us. It protects us from all of the fiery darts of the wicked. So pick up your shield of faith today, child of God, and extinguish the temptations of Satan. Extinguish extinguish those fiery darts that can be so destructive. I'll tell you, fire can destroy so much good. You know, we think about wildfires out in California and in Colorado and just thousands upon thousands of acres that have been destroyed from one little bitty spark. That's what happens when we let one fiery arrow go by unaddressed. A fiery arrow of Satan that gets in our life, and the nature of it is that it will spread, it will corrupt, it will burn, and it will inflict damage. So take up that shield of faith, child of God. Take up that shield of faith to protect yourself from the fiery darts of Satan, to withstand his wiles, to withstand his temptations. Don't be ignorant. Don't be naive about his devices. But take up that shield of faith to quench, to extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked one that Satan is hurling on us every day. Child of God, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We've been given the victory, and we have been given the armor of victory. Let's take up that armor. Let's take up that shield of faith that is vitally important. Above all, take up that shield of faith and protect yourself from the wiles of the devil. Well, again, we hope to continue this line of thought on the armor of God as we make our way to the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the mindset of prayer. So we hope that you can tune back in with us in a couple weeks as we continue those thoughts. But until that time, we hope God will bless you to live by faith and withstand all of the fiery darts and temptations of our adversary. May God bless you.